Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jamal Taghavimer. I'm a master's student at the University of Alberta under the supervision of Dr. Derek McKenzie. So the research topic is, can biochar improve soil function in an agroforestry system, effects of nutrient supply, microbial activity, and greenhouse gases? It is estimated that 6 million hectares of Western Canada is solanetic soils, and 4 to 5 million hectares of this area is located in Alberta. So the solanetic soils occur in the same ecozones of chernozemic soils. The only difference between these two kinds of soils is the high accumulation of a basic cation, which is called sodium, and it negatively affects the soil formation and properties of the soil. So as you can see, in central and southern parts of Alberta, which mostly agricultural activities are being done, they're mostly solanetic soils. And obviously, if the concentration of sodium increases, the land can become barren. So, on the other hand, Alberta is confronting another challenge, and that is the high rate of GHG emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, because of its oil sand, mostly because of the oil sand industries. And other sectors are also contributed to this, like agriculture. So Alberta is committed to decrease its greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 compared to its current conditions. And it is mostly focused on carbon storage and carbon capture. So one good solution for that would be establishing bioenergy cropping systems in these marginal lands. And these bioenergy cropping systems are actually high-intensive willow plantations. These woody plants are highly photosynthetic, and they can capture the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And more interestingly, these establishments can be irrigated with wastewater from the rural communities in the southern Alberta. And after the processing, the biomass which is coming from this system can go to the bioenergy power stations, and heat and electricity can be produced there. And again, the carbon dioxide in a close circle can come back to this system. So less carbon dioxide would be into the atmosphere. So one substance can be added to these systems in order to increase their productivity and also their efficiency in carbon capture. So according to the definition, biochar is a byproduct of the pyrolysis processing of organic feedstocks, and pyrolysis is the heating of biomass in an oxygen-limited environment. So it is proven in literature that biochar can increase moisture retention of the soil and also pH, because it has some ash content on its surface. So it can change the biology, it potentially can change the biology of the soil and also other characteristics, and also the nutrient status of the soil. And because it has a recalcitrant nature, it can capture more carbon in the soil. So here you can see, if biomass from this system is burned, so carbon dioxide can be emitted into the atmosphere. But what would happen if biochar is added to this system? So the biomass which is coming from these systems through the pyrolysis processing can be returned to the same system, and more carbon capture can happen after adding the biochar to the systems. So the research questions are these ones. So does soil nutrient availability increase with biochar addition? And can biochar increase microbial biomass and activity and change microbial function and community structure? And does biochar addition to soil reduce greenhouse gas emissions and increase soil carbon sequestration? So the hypotheses are microbial activity and biomass increase with bioterrorization, and nutrient availability increases and plants take up more nutrients, and greenhouse gas emissions decrease with addition of biochar. So the study site was located 100 kilometers southeast of the city of Edmonton. As you can see, the yellow zones are the solanetic area of the agricultural zones in central and southern part of Alberta. And on the right, the soil electrical conductivity map is superimposed on the area photo of the site, and those green boxes are showing the lagoons in which the wastewater can go into and later on can be irrigated on the site. So when you dig a pit in the site at 15 to 20 centimeter, you can see the hard band. That is because of the high accumulation of sodium, and it is highly impenetrable, so it decreases the penetration of plant roots and decreases the plant growth. And average annual precipitation in the site was 447 millimeters. Average annual temperature was 2.2 degrees Celsius, and the texture was loam, and the soil was solidized solanets. The experimental design was completely randomized, and the treatments were established based on electrical conductivity, high and low. These hot zones are high C zones, and irrigation, non-irrigated and irrigated, and also the biochar addition. So willow biochar was one kind of biochar, was added to soil at 1% rate, and conifer biochar was another biochar, another kind of biochar was added to soil at 1 and 2.5% weight-to-weight basis. And here in this map, you can see Personal. Personal is the company provided the conifer biochar in order not to be confused with control. That's why I brought Personal here. And in order to measure microbial biomass, chloroform fumigation extraction was done. To measure microrespiration, alkali trap was used. And in order to measure microbial function, community level physiological profiling was also done. And in order to measure microbial community structure, phospholipid fatty acid analysis was done. And for measuring nutrient bioavailability, plant root simulator probes were put in situ to measure the nutrient availability. These are actually simulating the plant roots and show how nutrients are bioavailable to plants. And in order to measure greenhouse gas emissions, a photoacoustic multi-gas analyzer was connected to static chambers on site. There was no significant difference between biochar treatments for microbial biomass and microbial community structure. But for microbial respiration, only in irrigated high C zone, with addition of conifer biochar at 1 and 2.5%, there was a significant increase. So it was basal respiration. So the basal respiration of microbes was increased with addition of biochar, only in irrigated high C zone. Metabolic quotient is representative of the metabolic activity of the microorganisms. It is a ratio of carbon which was respired by microorganisms to the microbial biomass carbon, and it was only increased with addition of biochar, conifer biochar at 2.5%, only for irrigated high season. So for microbial function, non-metric multidimensional scaling, that's a statistical procedure which can reduce dimension of variables. So there were 15 substrates, carbon substrates added to soil soil samples, and the carbon dioxide which was emitted by microbes because of their reaction to the addition of carbon substrates was measured. So each one of them showed different emission of carbon dioxide. So here you can see that each polygon is showing a microbial functional profile, including all of these carbon substrates. So the red polygon is showing the control, and the purple polygon is showing the kinetic for 2.5%. As long as in this ordination space, there is, they are further away from each other, that means they are more significantly different from each other. So by doing multiple response permutation procedure, that's another statistical procedure in order to do pairwise comparisons. The p-value for control and conifer 2.5% was 0.023, so they were significantly different from each other. And again, for nutrient ordination, because 15 nutrients were measured, again, non-metric multidimensional scaling was done, and by doing MRPP, p-value was less than 0.05. And all of these graphs are from non-irrigated high-AC zone. So they were significantly different from each other. And for total inorganic nitrogen, so stack bars were used, were drawn, and with addition of biochar in all zones, so each color is showing each different zone. So blue is non-irrigated high-AC zone, red is non-irrigated low-AC zone, and green is irrigated high season, and violet is irrigated low season. So with addition of biochar, total inorganic nitrogen was decreased. And for greenhouse gas emissions, these results are from the third week. There was no significant decrease for low season for both carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide, but in high season with addition of biochar, both carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide were decreased in high season. So the conclusions. Biochar can change microbial function and metabolic activity in short term, but it may need more time to change microbial structure and biomass. These results are only for 2 months. So the samples were taken from the field, and all of these experiments were done on the samples, just which were collected just 2 months after biochar addition to the soil. So another conclusion was, with addition of biochar, total inorganic nitrogen was decreased simultaneously with a reduction in nitrous oxide emission. This could be indicative of nitrogen immobilization by biochar. And biochar decreased both soil CO2 and N2 emissions, so it might be capable of carbon capture in longer periods. But, no matter how conclusive these data are, because biochar can show different results in longer period, so more research is needed to make these results conclusive. In the end, I'd like to thank all the people who contributed to this research and all the funding sources. Thank you for your attention, and any questions?
Yeah, we have 3 minutes for questions.
So microbial structure is different from microbial function. Microbial structure is, so when you measure microbial structure, you measure the phospholipid fatty acid. Those are in cell membranes. So when you measure microbial function, this is actually coming from their metabolic activity. So their structure might not be changed, but their metabolic activity might be changed because of the change in the environment, in their environment. So they are showing their, maybe they're under stress, maybe they want to resist to one change in the environment, and they change their metabolic activity. Because microorganisms are doing, the same community structure can do a different metabolism. No, that is not indicative of the change in total population. That is biomass, that is something else.
My second question, I was curious about the root growth through nutrition, how the roots take the nutrition from the soil. Is that what the root probes do?
These are plant root simulating probes. So these are membranes on the surface of, on their surface, there are some cations that can be exchanged with the cations in the, so there are two kinds of PRS probes. There are anion probes and cation probes. So one kind of cation or anion is on the surface of these probes, and it can be exchanged with the cations and anions in the soil and show how much they're available for plant roots.